is Julie Horn. Hello.
Hi.
So nice to have you.
So nice to be here.
Yes, thanks so much for tuning in. We have so many people who wanted to hear this conversation, and I'm really excited to do this talk with you. When I saw Dr. Harris's post about lip tinting and all of the controversy that it created, my immediate thoughts were about you and your beautiful, beautiful techniques. And did you, for those of you who don't know, Julie's been on the platform with Galderma doing gain training. And one of the techniques she's showcasing is this technique of making vertical bands of filler, like a picket fence technique, that to help build the body of the lip. Julie, tell us a little bit about how you started with that technique and what do you think it achieves?
So, well, 6 years ago when I started injecting, lips were very, very fast one of my favorite indications to treat. And I think the reason for that is that I myself was born with very, very thin lips, and I had a complex as a teenager, and I did my own lips already as I was 19 years old when I did my first lip treatment. And I built up my lips over time, so I have personal experience with building up some lips from nothing to this. And I love picky work, and I love to experiment under safe circumstances. And yeah, and I love a good challenge. Lips, isn't that one of the most difficult indications to treat, Dr. K? Do you agree?
It really is. And there's so many techniques and ways of doing lips. And every time I've seen people do different techniques from what I do, I learn a lot. And I think your results are outstanding and beautiful. I mean, perfect. They're so perfect. So it was, of course, we've all seen the controversy regarding Russian lips. And all of us have been asked to do Russian lips in our practices. So I think that there's a fine line in between. I mean, there's a spectrum. You can go over the top and put way too much filler at the margin of the lips and have filler migration issues, or you can use the tinting technique very carefully and have really good results. But I would say even myself, as an advanced injector trying your picket fence technique, I have seen a couple patients where I've created a little bit of filler migration or a little ledge or shelf over the border of the lip. And I think that's getting used to the texture and consistency of some of the newer fillers like the Restylane Kiss. But it is one of these things that injectors have to be aware of. So what can we do in our practice if we're using tinting to avoid going over and causing filler to violate the vermilion line and the white line of the lip?
Yeah, so in my experience is, and what I am, I don't believe that we can generalize all vertical injections and say it's the same. Tinting, Russian lips, doll lips, vertical injection, everything, it's not the same. It's all in the details, and it's all depending on who is holding the syringe and what product we are using. So yeah. When I do vertical injection, what I make sure of is that I stay below the white roll, because a white roll is a structural adhesion that works as a barrier. So if I put my bevel or poke the skin under the white roll in the red component of the lip, I have no issues with any ledges, ridges, plateaus, or migration at all. And I rarely use more than 0.4 milliliter in total in the upper lip. So I think also it's depending on how much product you are pushing into the lip. And of course, also product related. So I had a webinar together with Professor Cotofana. He confirmed that he loves my technique, and he also confirmed that he thinks it's a safe technique to use. He did live cadaver dissection during the webinar. So he did my technique with the dyed filler, and then he did a live dissection and could see that I was far away from the arteries and no signs of migration. So technique related and product related, amount related. So if you're staying below the white roll, use a filler that is not too hydrophilic and doesn't integrate too much, like bleed out too much in the tissue. Tenting technique is amazing.
It really is. And I think that's wonderful that, you know, scientifically to look at it by staining the gel and then seeing exactly where it falls in the lip. Do you always have bevel down in order to avoid product directing the wrong direction? Or do you sometimes go bevel up?
No, so I am injecting in a very precise angle of the lip when I enter the vermilion border in the red component of the lip. I like to have my bevel up. One of the reasons is because then the needle, the sharpest point of the needle hits the patient. So many patients think that it's more comfortable getting injected in the lips with the bevel up just because of the angle of the needle. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of very superficial linear threads for texture improvement. And then I also like to have my bevel up to so I can see almost how the filler is bubbling out from the bevel. So I'm more like a bevel up girl, to be honest. Yes.
And then after using the vertical bands of filler, can you still do some outlining of the lip, or do you feel like that's riskier to add on top of tenting?
What do you mean with outlining of the lip?
Can you still retrace the border of the lip after you've placed your vertical bands?
No, so I don't touch the borders more. So usually I start here at the GK point, and I do about 4 or 5 fences, like I call it, or tenting in within the medial canthus line, and that is normally the only tenting I do. Then to get some projection in addition, because it's not always I want flat lips in a profile, sometimes I want projection, and then I work with the tubercles in addition, and I go slightly deeper than the actual fences. But I don't do fences and touch the borders. And another very important aspect when I do tenting is that when the patient come back to do a touch-up or a second treatment, and if the patient still have beautiful definition, then I don't touch the borders because I don't want to over-treat the borders either, because then I can see an issue maybe creating migration over time.
What do you feel is the main reason why we're seeing so much filler migration? And I think that we're now seeing patients that are doing their second and third generation of lip fillers. So number one might be the quantity of filler being used. Number two can be the very hydrophilic, like the Juvederm family of fillers can be very bloaty and swelly. But what do you think is the main reason that we're starting to see so much filler migration?
I think one of the biggest reasons is when you do vertical injections and you put the bevel above the white roll when you do tenting. And if you go too deep and do tenting. Also in the webinar with Cotofana, and he did the dissections, and he went into the ergotrid or the white lip, went down slightly deeper and did a retrograde thread. And then he opened up and could see that the filler have migrated up into the ergotrid, because the filler moves where there is at least pressure, you know, and it followed the channel up. So I think if you're entering at the wrong point, too high up, and you're pulling the filler out, you will get migration, especially if after repeated treatments with that technique.
Yeah, so one other question, and I have a whole list of questions that people have sent in from all around the world. One other question is, if you've done tenting once, can you do it again and again? And when you repeatedly puncture near the white line of the lip, are you creating little holes and, you know, breaking the wall of the dam that's trapping filler where it needs to be? So you're creating these weakness points where filler can diffuse and migrate through if you're doing it more than once or repeatedly.
So when I do vertical injections or tenting, I do it very, very carefully, very delicate injection, just like yourself. And I rarely do the second treatment within, usually I wait 4 to 6 months before I do another injection. And if I really are able to fill up that empty tube that is running in the red component of the lip, in the vermilion border, in my experience, the filler almost gets encapsulated into that tube. So the definition lasts for a very, very long time. So often when patients come back the second time, I don't touch the borders. I don't do tenting. I work maybe more with the tubercles of the lip, maybe just a few tents to get that extra little lift, and also with the philtrum to create height in the middle, but don't touch so much the borders at all at the second or maybe not even the third treatment. So I don't feel that I really over-tent the borders or over-treat the borders. And I've done tenting for 6 years and I have not seen any issues so far. I have not had one single vascular occlusion. I have not had much issues with migration. I have had history with migration, but that is mostly patients that had migrations to begin with when they came to me. So we dissolved and started over. Then there is already changes in the structures of the anatomy in the lip. So I think it's easier for the filler to migrate, even if you use the perfect product or the perfect technique after dissolving. So I have had issues, but it doesn't matter. I've tried the vertical injections and I also try to avoid the borders, but they tend to get migration even with that. So I guess there is no perfect answer, right or wrong, why it happens, but that's my experience.
Yeah, I think that we'll find that it's primarily technique dependent and that as careful as we want to be, if your hand is not extremely steady and you're not in the very precise superficial plane, that you can inadvertently create some filler migration. Every injector has to realize that and be forgiving and kind to yourself, because this is a very hard profession, what we do on a daily basis, and you cannot always be perfect. And even the best injectors out there will have some occasional issues. Filler migration is one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we have to, I think also what I did not like about this social media controversy is how people were so apt to point fingers and condemn this very appropriate technique. Like the amount of condemning, like tenting is bad, black and white bad. That is not really the educated or best way to discuss this issue, and not to call people out and criminalize a certain type of injecting technique as causing an epidemic of a problem. I love Dr. Harris, but I think his post really made me feel strongly that we need to be a little bit more open-minded about there's a million ways to do lips and there's not one right way, number one. And number two, I also feel that his beautiful non-surgical lip lift technique, while I'm not calling him out, it just doesn't work in many of our practices. Like if I put 0.3 cc's of filler in anyone's lips, they're going to come back really mad the next day or two weeks from then and see absolutely very minimal difference and not have met their desires. So I think that that's something where there's academics and then there's real life, where we're out here injecting real women and real, you know, people who want volume. So, and it's definitely a woman's choice whether if they want a Russian lip, that's okay for them. If they want a Bratz doll lip, that's okay for them. But for, especially in this day and age, to be so paternalistic and think that there is a correct version of what a lip should look like on a human woman, it's a big statement to make. What do you think of that?
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more at all. And what people have to understand is that we all have different demographics of patients. It's the same with me. If I injected, and also I would like to say, I have no issues with Dr. Harris. And I think he does a lot of good things and he does research and I respect him as a doctor and I agree with him in many things, but I don't agree with him in his this black and white view when it comes to tenting technique and how he generalizes it and make it sounds like you and I are actually doing harm to our cute, lovely, amazing patients, which is the last thing we're doing. We are giving our women exactly what they want. And I think that the results we are giving our patients is a balance between what the patient wants, what is possible to achieve in regards to anatomy, and what the injector holding the syringe, the injector skills, and what the injector mind of natural beauty is, more or less. It's a balance between all that. So I think blowing out other candles to make your own candle shine brighter gives me a little bit bitter taste, to be honest. I think we should shine bright together and make the aesthetic community safer together and help each other to, I mean, since I've done this, my technique for over 6 years, I trained thousands of doctors, never had an occlusion, never had big issues with migration. So how horrible and bad can it be?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I also respect Dr. Harris very much. And I did do a really great podcast with him and interviewed him. And I think so much of what he says is true, that he is seeing so much filler injected into faces indiscriminately. And maybe because he's in London, where there's very little regulations and hairdressers are injecting lips and things like that. So I do feel he's reacting to something that is in, it's out there in the filler community. Over injection exists, but it's so important to let women choose what they want their lips to look like. And the very few women in Los Angeles want a 0.3 cc lip filler. I can tell you I'm going to get a lot of bad Yelp reviews if I do very minimal touch of filler. And also I do wonder, because these very minimal techniques, they look great in the immediate after picture, but truly, is there a visible, noticeable volume improvement at 2 weeks out or 3 or 2 months out? I'm not quite sure how that would look. And maybe that's right in, you know, his clientele. But your patients, your patients choose you for the lips that you create. And there's nothing wrong with a voluptuous lip. But with that said, are you thinking in your own practice of, in my practice, I'm thinking that after the third syringe, I'm starting to want to back off and say, no, you don't need any more lip filler. You know, let's wait a while. So do you have a limit? Do you say no to patients quite often?
I do. And I've had the privilege before I moved away from Norway. So when I was injecting and living in Norway, I had my patients, my regular patients. So I was lucky that I wasn't able to accept new patients. So I got to know my patients very well, and they get to know me very well. And they know how I work, and they know that I'm a conservative injector, and I am not afraid to say no. And when I have this good relationship with my regular patients, they trust me. So if I said no, it have happened in the past that they went to someone else and got more and more. But what happens then? No, they come back and say, Julie, help me. And yeah. So no, they listen, they trust me, and I am conservative and I say no if I feel that it's enough. But I can stretch. If I have a few pictures on my Instagram that I personally think it's a little bit extreme for my personal taste, but that is what my patients ask for, and I can be stretched a little bit. As long as I can stand for the result and, I mean, proudly say, okay, I did those lips. They're quite extreme, but they are really, you know, cool and juicy. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that we are creating fibrosis in the lips with repeat injections? So long-term changes of neocollagenesis and changes to the borders of the lip?
I think so. if we inject over and over and over again, we will create some of the fibrosis in the tissue, definitely. But is that really a big issue? Do you believe that it's soft fibrotic tissue? I don't know. I guess we have to wait for some studies to show how big of an issue that will be. But again, after 6 years, I haven't seen any issues, and I haven't had any patient complaining about any issues in regards to scar tissue in the lips. And I mean, we're working with very delicate needles, and I try to be as careful as I can when I'm injecting, very controlled, very careful, injecting slow. Yeah, you always have your videos on speed.
So I'll do some slow ones. We'll have to do like a TikTok duet with lip tenting.
Yeah, exactly.
Your technique and mine. That would be fun. I am getting some questions where people are asking how to create Russian lips. So some injectors out there are getting these requests and they want to do Russian lips. Do you have any idea how they're creating this? In my mind, this is a lot of smoke and mirrors because the volume created at the border of the lip is really transitory. It blends and settles. And I think a lot of that is makeup shadowing and Photoshop. But what do you think in terms of creating Russian lips? If you had to do it, what would you do to do it safely?
Yes. So I did some research, actually, because we had it as a topic at a webinar.
Uh-huh.
So I did a lot of research. So what I understand is it's a big jungle out there. So
yeah.
there isn't really, I hope I'm not holding my mic here. So there isn't really one single technique that is called the Russian technique. It's many, many different techniques that goes under the same name. I've got videos sent to me of different injection techniques within the Russian lips, and it was a big variation. But I also contacted some people in Russia that trains in Russian techniques, and that person told me that she injects, like, instead of doing single fences like I do, they go in and they fan instead from one enter point, and then they go a little bit lateral, and then they fan again and fan again, and they are avoiding injecting in the medial third upper tubercle, and they avoiding injecting in the lateral flat parts of the lower lip. What I also understand is on this particular trainer, she is in the exact same superficial compartment as I am, but she's adding a little bit more product and she's fanning it, and she is using a product with higher G prime to be able to really lift and get that sharp definition. So, but there is a jungle out there, and like she explained it, I think it, yeah, it sounds like a nice, seems like a nice technique if it's done correctly. She told me also about she tried to keep below the white roll. She's just fanning instead of doing single tenting, and yeah. And what else? Higher G prime product. But I have to say, it's a variation. I see horrible Russian lips out there, and I see horrible videos of Russian lips. But then I can see these most amazing, beautiful Russian lips as well. So again, I think it's who is holding the syringe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that many women actually like the Russian lip look, and it's not our job to criticize or, tell them not to like it. But if we can achieve a little suggestion of that, makes them feel a little sexier. It may not be that exact lip look, and it needs to be done with safety and, while avoiding filler migration. But if
yes.
you can achieve some of that, your patients might really like that.
Absolutely.
Any tips or tricks for using toxin around the mouth? Are you a big fan of lip flip, or what are you doing for our 60, 65-year-old ladies who have so many lipstick lines, but neurotoxin really is difficult to do on their lips.
You know, I love to use toxin in combination when I do lip fillers, both amongst younger and older patients. It could be like asymmetry in their animation. I sometimes inject in the big no-no muscle here, DLI, if they pull down like this when they talk or smile.
Yeah,
I can just add a drop of toxin to make it the animation more symmetrical. Also, if they pull a little bit like this Elvis Presley pull, a couple of units here. I also sometimes do, of course, the lip flip with toxin. Yes, I do. I do combine it, but I like to start very, very slow because in the past I have done a couple of mistakes, a little bit too much, and the patient weren't very happy. It was uncomfortable, and you know, but we learn as long as we live. And yeah, I'm going very, very low dose of toxin in the perioral area.
Yeah, I still find that age group to be challenging, you know, like the 65-year-old lady who has a lot of the smoker's lines or barcode lines, very thin lips. And you almost want to put filler in each individual line, but then talking about filler migration and creating a padded, ducky looking upper cutaneous lip is not necessarily desirable. So I think those are patients where a little toxin helps, but sometimes it throws off the smile or orbicularis tightening. You have to think about laser and other procedures that might be better. But
thank you for saying that. I so agree. We sometimes forget there are other experts there, laser experts that can really do nice peelings. In addition, some patients actually need a surgical lip lift rather than adding filler and filler and filler and lip lift. So sometimes I like to refer my patients to another specialist to have a look at them before I start feeling too much. And I really, really try to avoid to volumize the ergotrid too much in my patients. I rather work with small amounts to restore volume loss, not over volumize, and work with a little bit of toxin to relax the muscles. And then, in addition to that, a good medical skincare line and some lasers. Yes, I think a combination of treatment in this area in women over 50, 60 is a good idea. Combination.
Definitely. I do like to treat the philtrum, and sometimes I'm able to definitely give a little bit of a lip lift effect and improve the distance between the nose and the lip with a little bit of philtral injections. But I think that also has to be done so carefully to avoid thickening that cutaneous portion of the lip. That's a nice tip also. How do you prevent bruising? Do you have any special tips or tricks to avoid getting like a big old blueberry bruise?
When I am injecting, I'm in a very, very superficial layer. So I rarely get, sometimes, yes, I can get a big nasty bruise. But often I get these blue, more tiny spots because I'm in that superficial layer. More bruising can occur more in the afternoon, later in the evening. It can come more bruising. But I rarely get these big hematomas when I'm that superficial with my needle. Yes.
Are you a cannula user? Will you ever use a cannula in the lips? I don't love cannulas personally in the lips per se, but what do you think?
To be honest with you, I don't use it a lot. And because I don't use it a lot, I wouldn't say that I'm really good at it, if you know what I mean. I love using cannula for other indications in the face, but I rarely do it in the lips. So I feel that the cannula is the tool I bring when I can see some pulsating labial arteries in the wet dry border, when I feel a little bit, take this very, very careful now. Then is when I pull out my cannula and gently, gently fill the lips, and then I can work with the border with a small BD syringe, for example, insulin syringe, and just do tiny tenting along the border to get that nice definition and a little bit of lift. So in a few cases I use cannula, but it's not my favorite tool to use for lips. Absolutely not.
I think your Wi-Fi is cutting out a little bit, but I was also going to ask about threads, if you're a fan of lip threads. I've seen people doing threads, and it always makes me cringe because I think that it's probably going to really create a lot of fibrosis in the lips.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about lip threads?
To be honest with you, I don't know much about it, so I don't want to say too much. The reason why I don't know much about it is because I don't believe in it. So I didn't really do much research.
Yeah.
I have been listening to, I've been listening to some webinars. I've been at a few trainings with threads, and it just doesn't speak to me. So I've just avoided. I don't do it. And I agree with you. I believe there will be some fibrosis in the lips after a while if you do threads in the lip tissue. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I would caution everybody to be a little careful about that because it's really such a dynamic movement area. And
yeah.
Threads can sometimes be made of the, you know, absorbable materials, which is very much like Sculptra, and that can certainly create some granulomatous irritation or fibrosis. So it's kind of something you have to be really careful with if you are going to use it. And yeah. Sometimes you'll see people putting together videos and just shooting out technology and doing creative, inventive things with new products. And I just think we have to be a little careful before we just jump on those trains and start doing these trendy things. There's not a lot of like scientific rationale behind them, and we can always injure people. So that's just something I would be a little careful about.
Be curious, but skeptical.
Yes, that's for sure. Don't believe everything you see on Instagram.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Do you have any advice for beginner injectors starting out, just learning how to do lips? When you're first starting, I think that the plane of injection is the most difficult to master, probably.
It is. Oh, for a novice injector, it is, I mean, to go to good trainings, start very, very carefully. Start with the most simplest techniques there is, just to get to know the depth of the needle. Maybe, I mean, when I was a novice injector, when I think back, I remember when I was injecting lips, I was playing with my needle just to get to know which layer I wasn't injecting. I was just in the tissue, and I felt like the different feeling when I was in the submucosal layer. Then I went deeper just to feel how it feels to go into the muscle and then go into the vessel. Yeah, I bruised a few, but it's so educational to really go around with a needle without injecting. When you are a novice injector, to really know in which plane you are in. But novice injectors, submucosal, find the right depth and go very, very gentle and slow in the beginning. And then with experience, you can start experimenting a little bit more. But I would like to say go to trainings, go educate. And there is so many good lip trainers out there in all corners of the world. So that would be my advice. And there are so many amazing techniques.
It's so true. And I would also recommend that if you're a novice injector, that maybe you don't start doing lip tinting right off the bat, like maybe master some of the just normal techniques that are out there using a retrograde and linear injection technique. Maybe start with something that's easier to master, because we are going to see more and more filler migration problems because of inexperienced injectors trying to do a very challenging technique that requires a lot of hand precision and stability. And like even myself injecting for so long now, I have to really stabilize myself and really 100% focus. So I think that tenting is a very advanced technique. and maybe shouldn't be, you know, the first thing you jump to for every lip, but in the right hands with lots of practice, that would be great.
Exactly. When to be able to attend my lip master classes, you have to have at least 2 years experience with lip injections, because like you say, it's an extremely advanced technique to be able to do it right, to be able to get very natural, delicate results without any issues. And it's advanced. It is. Yes.
It really is. And I think getting used to the feel of Restylane Kiss and everything, get used to it with your normal injection technique before you take on another layer of like a difficult, challenging injection. Just learn the feel of the filler itself, how it behaves, how it's going to spread and diffuse, and then take it into your practice and kind of learn more techniques. Any other final thoughts? I think that everything you said is so accurate. I really just wanted to come to your defense because I think you do beautiful lips. And I feel that this is a discussion that needed to be had. I really respect Dr. Harris and all the thought that he puts into us maintaining beauty of the natural human face. But I also want to bring attention to the fact that we inject in the real world, where real women have real, you know, desires of what the perfect avatar of who they want to be, the sexy girl they want to be. And to satisfy that, we use all these different techniques. None of them should be condemned or criminalized. And there's not a one way, right way to do things, I think.
So true. So true.
Yeah, and we have so much to learn from each other, but it only happens with open dialogue and conversation and sharing our ideas and our new ways of doing things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's for those of you who haven't gone to Julie's courses, definitely check out Julie Horn, Julie Horn Academy, and do her master class. And if you're interested, I also teach modern aesthetic theory online, classes that you can take from anywhere. And we're having chats with all these fabulous and wonderful injectors who really are the cutting edge of what we do in this field. So thank you for tuning in all the way from across the world.
I'm going to take that class with you, definitely. And I want to also say you do amazing lips yourself, totally amazing. So
thank you.
Just felt I wanted to say that. right back to you.
Yes, I can't wait for us to travel and visit in person again. Yeah. And thanks so much for coming on. Everybody loves your lips and your trainings are amazing. And everybody out there, stay tuned for more good content on modern aesthetic theory. Stay tuned for chats with all your top leaders. And I hope you'll go check out Julie's account. Go follow her. Everyone do beautiful work and stay beautiful. Thanks again, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.